The text is Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. People of God, this morning we enjoyed the supper of our Lord. By eating the broken bread and drinking the poured out wine, we partook in faith spiritually of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that sacrament, we were confirmed and strengthened in our faith, seeing in a visible way, a clear way, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth that all of our sins are covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But besides being reminded in a special way of that glorious truth, we are also reminded in a special way of the calling that we have in response. And that calling, of course, is this: that we go forth in faithfulness, with thankfulness in our hearts, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. The Scriptures set forth that calling by means of different analogies or figures. In Ephesians chapter 6, we are called to fight the good fight of faith by putting on the whole armor of God. 1 Corinthians 12, we are called to live as members of the one body of Christ, all as individual members living in unity and peace with one another. Hebrews 11, and many other places, the figure is that of a pilgrim and stranger with no abiding place. This isn't our home, and therefore we need to live as pilgrims and strangers. And the analogy that is used in the text that we consider this evening to drive home the life of faithfulness that we are called to live is the figure of running a race. The writer of the book of Hebrews compares the spiritual life of the believer to that of running a race. So let's consider this text under the theme, running the race of faith. We notice in the first place the figure of a race, in the second place the manner of running, and in the third place the prize for victory. Running the race of faith, the figure of a race, the manner of running, and the prize for victory. In the text, the writer of the book of Hebrews compares our spiritual lives to that of running a race. And the writer has a very distinct kind of race in mind. He's not talking about a sprint, the 100-meter dash, for example. He's not even talking about a race that may take the runners around the track 3 or 4 or 5 times. Rather, the clear reference in the text is to a long-distance race, something like a marathon. The distinctive feature of a marathon is that it is long and it is hard. The present-day marathon covers the distance of over 26 miles. It is the one race that pushes the human body to its absolute extreme limits. And there's good reason that the Holy Spirit would inspire the writer of Hebrews to make this comparison. In many different respects, the running of a long-distance race is similar to the living of the Christian life. And this is true, as we will see, with respect to the race's participants, starting point, course, spectators, and this is especially true with respect to the difficult nature of running a marathon. So a race in the first place has certain participants. A set number of individuals run a marathon. Not everyone in Boston runs the most popular marathon, the Boston Marathon. Only those who qualified and signed up for that race actually participate in it. A set number of individuals. And that's the case with our spiritual race of faith. For only those who are given faith by God actually run. And even then, it is not the case that we choose to run this race of faith, as I may, for example, choose to sign up for a particular race. God chooses. He determines who runs, and who runs are those to whom He gives the gift of faith, the lost, which the Son of Man came to seek and to save, you and me. And this is apparent in the text from the use of the first person plural pronouns, us and we. Who are the us and we? Well, they are the Hebrew Christians to whom the apostle was writing. Go earlier in the book of Hebrews to chapter 3, and the apostle describes these Hebrew Christians. Verse 1, the holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Verse 14, partakers of Christ. We see then that the reference is not only to those Hebrew Christians to whom the apostle was writing, but to all of God's people. All who have faith, who have the life of Jesus Christ worked in their hearts. You and me. Certain participants. The race also has a starting point. On the morning of the race, the participants in the race gather together. They make their way to the starting line. The gun goes off, and from that point, that starting point, the race begins. Our spiritual race of faith also has a very distinct starting line. And because the race is only for those who are partakers in Christ, the starting line is the moment we are regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. The moment that we are given the life of Jesus Christ. And with that, all of the blessings of salvation, one of which blessing is faith itself. And faith, you remember, in its very essence, is the bond that unites us to Jesus Christ, so that even an infant begins his race the moment of his regeneration. And we make this point because this shows us that the text is not exhorting us to get out our spiritual running shoes and begin running for the first time. That's not the case, because for most of us, we have been running this race for some time now. For some of us, we're at the very end of this race. The point is not to exhort us to begin running, but this text gives us instruction and encouragement in the race which we are currently running right now. A race which began for each one of us at the moment of our regeneration by the power of the Holy Spirit. The race also has a course, a certain course. The gun goes off. The participants start running, but obviously they don't start running wherever they want to go. One going that way, another that way, another that way. No, they run along a clearly marked path. And that's because before the race began, somebody went out and measured the precise distance of that race. The marathon, 26.2 miles. And then at every turn, either a sign was put up or some structure was placed so that the runners know exactly where they are supposed to go. They have no doubt in the mind that where they are running is exactly where they are supposed to be running. The spiritual race of faith which we run also has a certain course. A course marked more clearly than any course that could take us through a city or through the countryside. And this is because the course that we run has been determined and marked out by none other than Jehovah God and His eternal counsel. And that's what the text says. Let us run the race with patience, the race that is set before us. Set before us. Somebody determined where we were to run, the course we were to run, and set that course right in front of us. And that someone is God Himself. There's implications to this. In the first place, this means that each one of us has an individual course to run. And this is because God's plan for you is not the same as His plan for you or for me. Each one of us has an individual course determined by God which we are to run. But even though that's the case, there is a sense in which we do run together, because we do experience the fellowship of the saints, especially in our homes and here in the life of the church together. And so for a time it may be that we run right alongside another. For a long time, a husband and a wife, for example. And in the body of Christ, all of the courses which we run are in close proximity to each other, paralleling each other, crisscrossing each other. But remember, each and every course has been determined by God Himself. That God determined the course which we run in the means, in the second place, that we can know that the course which we are running is exactly where we are supposed to be running, and that it is good for me. There's great comfort in this, knowing that God determined our path. Great comfort in this, because we may ask ourselves sometimes, why am I on this path? This path that has led to no job, no spouse, no children, this burden, that difficulty, this sickness. Why this path? At least in part, this can be answered by knowing that God determined it. He knows where we have been. He knows where we are right now, and He knows exactly where we are to go. And not only that, we can also know that this path that I am on is good. It's the right path. I may not be able to understand it, at least on this side of the grave, why I am where I am. But by faith and with trust in God, the faith of Hebrews 11, we can know that the path that we are on, determined by God, is the right path for me, the path that's leading me to my glory and my salvation in heaven. And that God determined the course that we run means, in the third place, that God determined not only the beginning, but He also determined the end. This means that for some, the course may only be a few days, and then the Lord is pleased to take that infant into glory to be with Him. For others, it may be very, very long, 70, 80, 90 years long. For others, 15 years. 20 years, 30 years. The beginning, the end, and everywhere in between, this hill, that turn, God determined the course which we run. So the race has participants, it has a starting point, it has a certain course. The race also has spectators. And this is where we'll go to the earthly race in the first place. Lining the streets of a long-distance race are spectators. And anyone that's participated in a long-distance race knows that this is one of the neatest parts about that race. You run through the heart of Grand Rapids. On either side are hundreds and hundreds of people encouraging you in that running. What it's especially neat is when you see your family or your friends. You see them and for some reason you get a boost of energy. Strides become a little bit longer. Pace picks up a little bit. You feel good. You're encouraged in the race that you are running. That's the earthly race. The spiritual race also has spectators. And that's where the context of Hebrews 12 and the beginning of Hebrews 12:1 comes into view. The beginning of Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we're surrounded, as it were, on either side of our path with this cloud of witnesses. Who are these witnesses? The witnesses are the saints, the giants of faith of Hebrews chapter 11. But they're not only those individual saints of chapter 11, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and so forth. But the cloud of witnesses is really all of the saints of the Old Testament. The Old Testament saints who, as it were, line the streets which we run through. The saints from which we receive encouragement in the race that we run. But there's a specific way and reason why we are to be encouraged by these Old Testament saints. It has to do with the fact that they are Old Testament saints. Those saints ran a race, the race that we are running, and they ran that race in faith. But we are to be encouraged by them because of the time at which they ran. Those saints in the Old Testament ran that race of faith, a faith that was based upon the promise of God. They ran at a time of types and shadows before the actual fulfillment of that promise in the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's what verse 39 says of Hebrews chapter 11. And all these Old Testament saints, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. That they received not the promise means that they didn't receive the fulfillment of that promise. They didn't see the fulfillment of that promise in Jesus Christ. And it's exactly that reason why we are to be encouraged by these Old Testament saints. If these saints in the Old Testament could run the race that was set before them with such a strong faith, a faith that was based on the promise of God, trusting in God, trusting that God would fulfill that promise, how much more should we run in faith? Because we can look back. They looked forward. We can look back and see the fulfillment of that promise in Jesus Christ. So look to these saints. Read about them in the Old Testament. See the strong faith which they had, the many examples in Hebrews chapter 11. And then follow in that faith. Now that raises an interesting question. The point of the text is that we see them. We see them in the Scriptures. We're encouraged by them. But that raises the question of whether or not these Old Testament saints, which are now in heaven, from heaven, look down at us and see us and encourage us in our running. It's difficult to point to a text that answers that question. You can look at a text like Luke 15, verse 10, that says this, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Well, that text tells us that at least some of what happens here on this earth is revealed to those in heaven, but it's talking about angels. I'm more inclined to say that those saints in the Old Testament can't see us and don't look down at everything that we do. Because think about what that would mean. They would not only see us when we are running on the mountaintops of faith, when we're doing that which is pleasing to God, but they would see us in this world of sin. They would see all of the sins which we commit. and the suffering and the burdens. And I'm not sure, but I don't think that's the joy of heaven for saints which are there right now. So we look to them. We're encouraged by them. We see them, and we see them in the Scriptures, reading about them, seeing their faith, and following in that faith. But besides these four elements of the race, the outstanding reason that the writer of the book of Hebrews makes this comparison between running a race and our spiritual lives is because of the difficult nature of running a long distance race. Very simply, it's hard. Extremely hard. Especially towards the end of that marathon, 15, 16, 20, 22 miles. Each leg feels like it weighs 100 pounds. You can't put one foot in front of another. Hardly breathe. Everything in your body tells you to stop. And that, more than anything, characterizes the life of the child of God here on this earth. It's hard. It's not easy. Yes, there are times when, as it were, we are on the mountaintops of faith, running downhill. But those times are outweighed by the difficult aspects of living the life of the child of God here on this earth. And it's difficult because we not only run, as it were, with our own weight, the weight of our own bodies, but we run with a huge burden on our backs. As I considered this text, I couldn't help but think of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, a classic in the history of the Christian church. In my library, I have not only the book itself, but I also have a condensed and illustrated version of the book. And in that book, the artist does a masterful job of depicting Christian, the main character in that book, with this huge, overbearing, crushing burden on his back. Can't even stand up straight as he makes his journey. And the burden on Christian's back and the weight which we bear as we run our race, obviously, is our sin and the guilt of our sin. Sin bogs us down when we run. Slows us down. And the text describes that sin as the sin which so easily besets us. So sins that come up over and over again in our lives. The sins that we just cannot seem to defeat. The sins that make spiritual progress almost impossible. Earlier we said that there were spectators, as it were, which we are encouraged by, those Old Testament saints in Scripture. But there are other spectators as well. The devil and all of his hosts. They're on the sidelines as well. And they do see us and they do something to us. They jeer at us. They throw things at us. Temptation after temptation, stumbling block after stumbling block, striving to make us fall, to slow us down, to get us to stop running this race of faith. Couple that with the fact that we do have fallen natures, a sinful, corrupt nature, and we do fall. We are slowed down. We do stumble. And that is why the only way to run this race, the manner which we are to run it, is with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're to run with patience. There's different emphases to the idea, the concept of patience. What is on the foreground in Hebrews 12:1 is the idea of steadfastness. In other words, we are to persist and to persevere in this race which we run. And that fits the main idea of the text, that of running a race. An outstanding quality of a good long-distance runner is exactly this: perseverance, persistence. Running is sometimes more psychological than it is physical. When everything in your body tells you to stop, your mind has to tell you to keep on going, to persevere, even unto the end. And that's what we need to do in our spiritual race of faith. One foot in front of another, in faithfulness, even unto the end. But the only way to run with that patience, that steadfastness, is by looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need, as it were, tunnel vision. Can't see anything else. Put away every distraction. Focused on one thing, and that one thing, that one person, I should say, is Jesus Christ. And the figure is apt there as well. How do you want to finish a course that you're running? Set your eyes on the goal, the end. Don't let your eyes waver from it and just keep on going. Well, that is Jesus Christ. We look to Jesus Christ as we run the race of faith. But we look to Him not only simply by reading about Him in the Scriptures, knowing the events of His life, knowing who He is, but we look to Him in faith. In faith. Just as partaking of the Lord's Supper is not simply taking the bread, putting it in your mouth, taking the wine, drinking it. You eat and drink in faith. We're united to Jesus Christ in faith. Look to Him in faith. Embrace Him. Trust in Him. Confess your sins. And know and believe that in Him they are forgiven. And we look to Jesus because everything about the race which we run is because of and has to do with Jesus Christ. Everything, all of those elements that we talked about earlier are directly connected to Jesus Christ. The fact that we participate in the race. Ephesians 1 verse 4, having chosen us before the foundation of the world in Him, in Christ. Before this world, God chose us in Christ. We're united to Him in faith. The fact that we run, are even participants in the race, is because of Jesus Christ. The starting point. We start running when we are regenerated. And what's our regeneration? It's the moment when the life of Christ is implanted in our hearts. And how is that life placed in your hearts? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Whose Spirit is it? The Spirit of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. We start running the race because of Jesus Christ. The witnesses. We're to look to those Old Testament saints and be encouraged by them. Certainly, yes. But there's one witness. There's one person which we are to be encouraged by more than anybody else. And that's Jesus Christ. And that's how verse 2 is framed. It's framed in language of Jesus Christ running His own course and finishing the course which He was set before Him to run. He ran that course 33 years on this earth, suffered all of His life long, culminated in the suffering on the cross, arose from the dead, ascended into heaven. You want to be encouraged in the running of your race of faith. Look to those Old Testament saints, but look to Jesus Christ and be encouraged by Him and His faithfulness. But we look to Jesus Christ especially because of that last element of the race that we consider, the difficult nature of running, because of the sin which we run with. The text exhorts us to lay aside every weight and lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. Now that means two things. That certainly is an exhortation for us to go forth in holiness. We partook of the Lord's Supper. We were confirmed in our faith, strengthened in our faith. And the response must be thankfulness, gratitude for this gift. And how do we express that thankfulness? We express that by going forth in holiness, by laying aside all of our sin. The devil's on the sidelines. He's jeering at us with all of those temptations. We need to fight as hard as we possibly can. Fight to put down those temptations when they come before us. To go forth in holiness, all out of thankfulness for the gift of Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have in Him. So certainly this is an exhortation to go forth in holiness. But there's more to this. Because no matter how much we grow in our sanctification, there's a problem. And the problem is that we can never, absolutely never, in and of ourselves, get rid of this weight, get rid of this burden of sin. We have sinful natures. That old man cleaves to us. So that every single day, all we are doing, as it were, is throwing more weight and more weight and more weight and more weight on our backs as we make our way through this life. And that's why we look to Jesus. Because it's in Him and Him alone that God, who is rich in mercy, takes this weight, this huge weight of sin, the guilt of sin, takes it off of our backs and places it on the back of another. My burden, your burden, the burden of all of His people on the back of Jesus Christ, especially on the cross. It was there that He endured the guilt of our sin, endured the punishment for those sins, the infinite wrath of God enduring hell itself for the sins which we committed. Look to Him. Confess your sins. Be sorry for your sins truly. And know that in Him, in Jesus Christ alone, those sins are forgiven. And when we do this, we will receive the prize for victory. Every winner of a race receives a prize. In the ancient games, the winners of the race got a crown of olive leaves placed on their head. Today, it's a prize of money, a medal, honor. But the prize that we receive in the running of our race cannot be compared to any gold or silver or honor, because the prize is nothing less than life with God in heaven. We receive this prize because, as the text says, Jesus is not only the author, but He is also the finisher of our faith. And we receive this prize because Jesus Himself ran His course, and He received His prize. The course that Jesus Christ ran began when He took upon Himself the likeness of our human flesh. The second person of the Holy Trinity was born to the Virgin Mary, suffered all of His life long, culminated in the cross, died on the cross, arose victoriously, and then ascended victoriously into heaven. He despised, as the text says, despising the shame. He endured the cross. And He ran that course. He endured the cross. He despised the shame, as the text says, for the joy that was set before Him. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured all of that. What was that joy that was set before Jesus? Well, at least in part, the joy was what the end of the text says. He was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Right now, Jesus Christ is in heaven. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings, and He is ruling over all. But the joy of Christ in heaven is not simply that He's in heaven right now, as it were, as a tyrant ruling over all because He has the power to do so. But the joy of Christ in heaven has to do with the fact that Jesus Christ exercises that power that He has on the throne at God's right hand for the sake of and on behalf of us, His people. He's in heaven as the one who Himself suffered being tempted so that He can help us when we are tempted in the course which we run. His throne is a throne of grace to which we can come boldly with confidence that we will receive help in the time of our need. It's a throne of love. It's a throne of grace. And that is why when we run the race of faith, we will receive the prize for victory. And that prize is nothing less than life itself with God in heaven. Everlasting life in heaven. Not only life, but covenant life. True communion with God in the face of Jesus Christ. We receive this because Christ is not only the author, the one who works that faith in us, but He's also the finisher of that faith. The idea is that Jesus Christ brings our faith to its highest reality. Faith, our union to Christ. We experience that right now. We're united to Jesus Christ. But to our highest reality in heaven itself, when we will have the robes of Christ's righteousness, the victory robes in heaven with Him. Life with God in heaven. In chapter 6, verse 20, Jesus is called the forerunner. The forerunner who passed by the veil into the Holy of Holies. Picture of heaven itself. Christ is the forerunner. He went to heaven, ascended victoriously. We are His body. Where the head goes, so also goes the body. We can be confident that when the race which we run comes to a conclusion, here on this earth, we will find our place in heaven with Jesus. That's the ultimate prize. But we also experience the prize of victory right now. Even right now, while we run this race of faith. Be assured that when you run looking to Jesus Christ, when you run confessing your sins, that Jesus Christ forgives those sins, and that God in heaven declares to you in the depths of your hearts that you are righteous. Righteous in Jesus Christ. Holy in Jesus Christ. So that in our relationship to God, we are right with God. We experience that fellowship with God. When we look to Jesus in our race, we experience even now that life with God. And so let us run, people of God. Let us run. Run that race that is set before us. Looking to none other than Jesus Christ. The race is long. The race is hard. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray that we might go forth in the race that Thou hast called us to run with faithfulness, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And may we do that, O God, out of thankfulness that is in our hearts, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the covering of our sins that we have through His blood. We pray that Thou mightest found our worship in this evening acceptable in Thy sight.
Forgive what was done in sin. In Jesus' name, amen.